We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Ain't for everybody.
Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God. Peace to the planet. Oh, here he is. Yeah, we on air, man. What you mean? Can we start this over, please?
On air, light not on.
Start this again. Yeah, let's try this again. There we go.
Yo.
We're having some technical difficulties with Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet, it's Thursday!
Yes, it's Thursday!
I didn't know y'all started the show already.
We started every day the same time.
Yeah, but
you were doing so good.
No, I'm still doing good. I'm just not giving nobody no reason to have something negative to say about me.
Bro, you was 20 seconds late, bro.
20 seconds? That's my first time being late in 2020.
I'm
on brand. 20 seconds late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty good.
You know?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm cool.
What you do yesterday? Anything?
What did I do yesterday? It's all a blur. I know I was in the barbershop yesterday. The reason I know I was in the barbershop, because my man Ty was cutting my hair. Look at my man Ty. And they was playing Uncle Murda.
Yes, Uncle Murda's new album.
Uncle Murda project is really, really hard. And he got this record that I've added to my wake-up regimen, and it's called God, I F With You.
Okay.
It says, I woke up this morning, it's a W. God, my big homie, I F With You.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
We get it.
I love it.
We understand.
I love it. They say God meets you where you are, right?
Yep.
That's right. And God meets you where you are with language that you understand. And he is saying that quite plain. And I just, that's my feeling every morning. I feel that way. I'm like, God, I F With You, man. Thank you for effing with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And shout out to the barbershop. It's the shop out in Jersey where they are. Every time I'm there, they play nothing but Brooklyn music. Uncle Murda, Casanova, Fabulous, and Jay.
And a lot of Griselda.
A lot of Griselda, too.
I love Griselda.
A lot of Griselda,
absolutely.
Too. So that's why I get my fix for that when I'm in the barbershop. All right.
Very peaceful place, though. Don't think that, you know, based off the soundtrack. Okay? That is a very peaceful environment.
It's a very peaceful environment. Shout out to the shop, Johnny, and everybody in the shop over
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Now, today, speaking of Brooklyn and some of Brooklyn artists, Fabulous will be joining us this morning.
Great segue.
Yeah. We'll kick it with Fabulous. See what's going on with him. He dropped the album last year.
Summertime Shootout 3. Right?
Yeah. We were supposed to have him up here a couple times, but we were on vacation. We had things to do. We had to hang with our family.
I got things to do now.
Yeah.
I had things to do when he came.
Yeah, but that's all right. So what's that snorting, man?
I don't know. That's come with age. I never used to snort like that.
Now you're snorting all the time.
All the goddamn time.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news.
You have no idea what's
going on. I have no idea. You're supposed to
get Angela Yee did all the news prep.
Yep.
You have no idea what's happening.
Not at all.
Just, hey.
What?
We got some news coming up next.
Some news. All right. There's a whole lot of news. All right, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Get your ass up.
Baby, I can keep you.
Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast
What's
Club.
Happening? Good morning. Morning.
Let's get in some front page news. Yee, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Now, after 16 NFL seasons, it looks like Eli Manning is retiring.
It's time.
Yeah, it is.
That's
time.
Your team, right, Envy?
Yes, the Giants are my team. So definitely
end of an era.
The best. Yes, the end of an era. So we would definitely wish him the best. I think he should have retired last year, but it's on him when he wanted to go. So congratulations. I'm happy for Eli.
Gave y'all two Super Bowl rings.
Sure did.
I think I saw a stat last night that said he's 1 out of 12 starting quarterbacks to win multiple Super Bowls.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's a short list.
Absolutely.
So I think he should get into the NFL Hall of Fame.
I think he'll get in there.
He should.
Absolutely. Now what else we got, Yee?
Well, Harvey Weinstein, the opening statements have begun at his trial, and that started yesterday. They said at the end of this trial, the evidence will be clear that the man seated right here is not just a tycoon in Hollywood. He was a rapist, sexually assaulting these women when they refused to comply with his desires and his orders. So don't look at him right now. You see him walking around with a walker. He looks like he's not feeling his best. They're like, don't look at him as harmless. He's not a harmless old man. He's being charged with a slew of different things, including one previously unnamed woman who says that she met him at a New York hotel room in 2013 where he forcibly raped her and she forcibly performed oral sex on him. So he's being charged with 5 felony counts, first degree rape, third degree rape, first degree criminal sexual act, and 2 counts of predatory sexual assault.
Yeah, that walker ain't going to change nobody's mind.
Not at all.
His white skin might, but his walker won't because, shoot, Bill Cosby was damn blind out here. And they threw him under the jail. So, please.
Now, Harvey Weinstein's defense attorneys are saying there was not any non-consensual sexual activity. And they said, of course, in their opening statements, they did take aim at the credibility of the women who are forming this case against him. So...
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. Well, you know, we're all watching to see if he's going to go to jail.
Right.
Now, Tulsi Gabbard says that she is holding Hillary Clinton accountable, and she has a lawsuit. She is suing her for defamation, and that's because Hillary Clinton said some things that she says actually smeared her political and personal reputation.
What were those things? That she's a Russian agent? Allegedly?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, Tulsi Gabbard's lawyer says that she is a loyal American civil servant who has also dedicated her life to protecting the safety of all Americans.
I'm not mad at that lawsuit. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not mad at that lawsuit simply because if you throw something out there like that about me, you better be able to prove it. So if you're going to be making, you know, comments that I'm a Russian agent, boy, you better have some backup. You better have a file to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
She called her a favorite of the Russians, just to, you know, be clear.
Yeah.
Now, some of your favorite stores might be closing. Express is closing 91 of their stores. And Bed Bath & Beyond is closing 60 locations.
Bed Bath & Beyond? Damn it, man.
Why are you acting shocked?
I am shocked. I feel like it's always packed at Bed Bath & Beyond, and them little coupons be coming through.
Man, it's this thing called the internet. Y'all gonna learn, all right? People are ordering online. They're not going to these brick-and-mortar stores no more, man.
Mm-mm-mm.
What?
Mm-mm-mm.
Why?
Right, and that's a favorite of mine also, so...
All right.
It hurts.
Well, that is front page news. Did you take that TE?
No. You know, I'm in L.A. right now. I was flying.
Don't got T in L.A., E?
I'm going to get it today.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Did I tell you about the gas pump thing that happened with me?
No, what happened?
All right. So I don't know if this has ever happened to you. So in New Jersey, you don't have to pump your own gas. It's a law that you can't pump your own gas. When you go to the gas station, the attendant has to pump the gas for you.
Is that the only state that does that?
I'm not sure if that's the only state, but I know that's how it is in Jersey. Not in New York, but Jersey. So I got, you know, I put $40 or super in my car. I went in there to get a water. When I came out, I paid the guy and I drove off. I didn't know that he was still pumping the gas.
That's your dumb ass.
So I pulled the gas pump off the pump. So there was gas leaking and spilling everywhere. But the gas pump smacked into my car, and I got a big dent on the car.
That's your fault.
That is my fault.
Why weren't you paying attention?
Which car was it?
A nice car.
But why weren't you paying attention? Like, I don't get it.
Because I went in, I paid for the water, I went to the bathroom. It was only $40. I'm just thinking he's done. So I gave him the money, I get in the car, and I take off. I pulled the
New Jersey is the only state where you can't pump your own gas.
Oh, it is the only state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that, and that's my dumbass. That's why I'm betting this money. So now I got to pay for a damn big-ass dent on the side of my truck.
Sounds like your fault.
Definitely was my fault.
So he was just pumping. That man was just pumping, and you ain't even let him finish. You just got up and walked off.
See, it's always something with you. See? It's always something with
What's
you.
What's wrong with you?
My car, man. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your car, too. What is wrong with you? Jesus Christ.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Envy.
Hey, what's up, Trav?
What's up, Envy?
Trav.
Hey, Trav.
Trav, I want to say you came through, Trav. You really came through. I ain't going front, man. I ain't going to tell people what you did, but you came through. And I fronted on you, Trav.
Hey, you did front on me, Envy, and I told you I had you.
You right.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you finally gave him that you promised him, Trav.
Oh, my God, Charlamagne, cut it out.
Goodness gracious, I'm a married man, Charlamagne. Watch your mouth. But go ahead, Trav, what's up?
Listen, I want to talk about something, right? I want to talk about fragile masculinity, right?
Oh, boy, what happened?
I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to say the word pause. Like, if you're saying, like, yeah, I just ate a sausage, pause. I feel like you should not say the word pause if you're out here painting your fingernails.
Yeah, that is wild. Yeah, like everybody has these ideas of what they think feminine is or what they think men shouldn't do, but then they'll be saying pause to you, but then they'll have stuff like their fingernails painted.
Seriously, though, my whole thing. All right, so look, I'm just gonna give y'all an example. I don't know if y'all listen or watch the Joe Budden podcast, but there's this little portly up there named Maul, right? And he be out here putting plum lavender on his fingernails and have the audacity to be pausing people. Like, girl, we can go get our nails did together, okay? Like, you can't, like, you definitely ain't gonna pause me and you got fingernails painted. It's just not gonna happen. So stop with the fragile masculinity. Stop pausing people, especially if your fingernails are painted. Girl.
Yeah, the irony of it all.
The irony. Bye.
Goodness gracious.
Bye.
Bye, Trav.
Goodness gracious. Hello, who's this?
This is Blonde Beauty. Good morning.
Hey, Blonde Beauty, our blind listener. How you doing this morning?
You will not call me the blind listener.
I owe you one, Blonde Beauty. I really appreciate what you did, man. We'll talk about
it. Does it have to do with you and Trav also?
Yes, it does.
Y'all kinky.
Blonde Beauty came through. I ain't gonna front, man.
Wait a minute
First
now.
Of all,
who came through? Was it Trav or Blonde Beauty?
Both of them.
Wow.
You feel me? Anyway, no, this morning I wanted to talk about, I had my housewarming and Trav pulled up with the Bacardi or whatever stuff. And he was
That's
really
nice.
Helpful to my blind people that was there that supported me or whatever. He was real helpful.
Now, how do you know it was Bacardi?
What you mean? Knock it off.
She tasted it.
Bacardi. But no, I wanted to talk about this. First of all, a lot of music coming out following me, your Blonde Beauty on Instagram. But yeah, this Beyonce thing with the Adidas. Now, I'm plus size, right? I can fit the extra large, so I'm not tripping. But why are people so upset about you can't fit 4X? Like, most people, like, it's athletic wear. And people that's 4X, not to say that they don't work out, but I don't know.
Come on, Blonde Beauty.
No,
you're absolutely correct. I saw people upset about that, and I was like, what brands do come in 4X sizes? Like, why are they singling out Beyonce? Like it's rare
really
that you see
that
those brands get to that size.
Yeah, and they were like, well, Adidas has those sizes, but it's just like, listen, it's okay. If you can't get this one, it's all right. Y'all need to leave it alone, and, you know.
It's a brand new line. Like, give it some time. Damn.
Exactly. And they can always, this is her first, you know, she just put it out and she sold out. She could easily go up to other sizes. I mean, I can fit the extra large, so I'm straight, but.
I think fat people just be mad sometimes that they're not thought of first.
Stop.
That's not a stop.
And guess what? I am a part of the plus size community, and, you know, I would say get over it.
Exactly.
Get over it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Blonde Beauty.
All right. See you guys.
You have a good one.
It's just like with sneakers. Sneakers, when they do sample sizes, they're like, what, a 7?
9, usually.
9?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, but they're not thinking about us Bigfoot folk. You know what I mean?
Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is DeJuan.
DeJuan, what's up, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
What's up, DeJuan?
Man, I called in because last night I had an old man come up to me telling me he was hungry. I work at Pizza Hut. So I go in there and make the man a personal pan because I'm one of the managers. Well, to my knowledge, I go outside to give the man the personal pan. And a lady tells me that the old man been in my car looking. My door's cracked open.
Wow.
He done went in my console and stole my girl's engagement ring.
Wow. See what I'm saying? But you did something nice for him.
That is awful.
But that still don't mean that still don't mean you shouldn't be a blessing to others just because they did you wrong.
I feel that. I understand that completely. It's just like I just felt like I shouldn't have did nothing nice for him in the first place.
But
it's one of those
karma.
I just got to take that L.
Karma, well, get him now. You did what's right, bro.
Yeah, and it's not an L. God is not going to judge you based off what somebody did to you. He's going to judge you based off what you did for somebody.
But let me ask you a question. Did you propose already or you was about to propose?
I was going to propose.
Oh,
I'm still figuring that part out. I just got the ring, and I was like, I got the ring. That's the first part. Now figure out the proposal.
Yeah, now she done ruined the surprise. It's not like you can go to her and be like, man, I was going to marry you, but somebody stole the ring, yada, yada, yada.
No, I can't.
So what's the plan now?
She knows. She knows.
Oh, you told her what happened?
No, the other manager slipped up and told her. He said, yeah, they stole some ring out of his car. She didn't know about the ring.
I think you need to make a very, very special, customized, personal pan pizza for your fiance. The best pizza you ever made in your life. Something that she can't buy at Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, too. We sick of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I try. I mean,
sorry,
you
know, brother.
Let's do something out there.
I mean, right.
Damn,
right,
sorry
bro.
For you, bro. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's up? What's up, Charlamagne? What's going on?
Peace, King. How are you?
Yeah, what's up? Yo, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think we should put DJ Envy as a donkey of the day, man?
No way.
Come on, man. You went to the gas station and you didn't pay attention and you drove off while they was putting gas in your truck.
Word up, that man pumping. Envy ain't even looking behind to see if that man finished or not.
See?
And just gonna drive
exactly.
off.
So do you think we should put him as donkey of the day?
There ain't no donkey of the day. People
I think
done
so.
That before.
Cause that, had that man spilling stuff all over the place.
You, oh, man. My like, goodness. I don't care what nobody said about you. I got mad love for you, man.
I don't know, that might be donkey behavior. I'm thinking about it, man. No, I'm not gonna lie, man. That man was behind. That man was pumping. You look behind you. You didn't even pay no attention. You just got up and left, and he just spilled stuff all over the place, made a mess. That's your fault.
You know what? Hello, who's this?
Hey, peace and blessings, guys. Good morning, man. How y'all feeling today?
Hey, Sean Stone.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear your voice sound, but you still sound good, though, Angela.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Envy, what's up, brother?
What's
up? How you feeling, man?
Peace and blessings.
All this positivity.
That's good, man. Hey, Charlamagne, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, King?
I'm blessed, man. Hey, I just want to say, I watched Bad Boys for Life yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a really good movie, man, and I think everybody out there should go out there and support Will Smith and Martin Lawrence because that movie is official.
Yeah, man. Hey, you can't tell me his son be busting ass, right?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, man, his son remind me of Trav busting your ass last year in that rap battle.
Hold on. Hey, and I'm not even going to start off with no negative energy, man.
But I'm just saying.
Also, listen, man, I told you that I don't go that way, okay? You know what I mean?
Whoa, go also, what way?
He was talking about rap battle.
He ain't talking about no rap battle.
I am talking about,
you're right, though. You got to watch Charlamagne.
I said Will Smith's son busts his ass the way Trav busted your ass in that rap battle last year.
Well, congratulations to Trav for winning a rap battle. Now I hear Trav is trying to get his record deal and stuff like that. So congratulations. More power, you know what I mean? But on the real, though, I just want to apologize to my ex-wife, man. A lot of y'all didn't know that Sean Stone was mad before.
You know what I mean? No, we did not. We did not know that.
We didn't know that, bro.
Hold up. Yeah. She divorced you after you lost to Trav in the rap battle?
Nah. Charlamagne, relax, bro. I'm talking about something serious. I know you want to laugh and laugh at Sean Stone and stuff like that, but let's be serious.
Right, let's be serious.
I just want to apologize to her because, you know what I mean, I got mad at a very young age, at an age like 24. I'm 37 now. I got mad at the age of 24, and I wasn't a good husband, man. I didn't know how to be a good husband. I, you know what I mean? I was very selfish in a lot of my ways. You know what I mean? I had a lot of just bad energy in me. And I just want to say I'm sorry to her. She's the mother of my child right now. And I just want to say I'm sorry, man, because, you know, I didn't know how to be a husband. You know what I mean?
Wow,
I was just learning on the fly. And I just want to apologize to the black woman, you know what I mean, that I appreciate you. And I love you a lot, man. You know what I mean? Even though we're not together, you keep doing your thing. And, yeah.
Did you apologize to her personally, or is this your first time apologizing on the air?
I always apologize to her, you know. But, you know, when it comes to black females, you know, they seem like they want you to apologize every day. Every second of every moment.
You're messing up the apology, Sean.
It's not going.
You're messing up the apology now.
You're
messing it up.
For a second, man.
Well, Sean, let me tell you, man. I think what you just did is beautiful. I love that you are taking accountability.
Charlamagne, one thing you got to know about me, man, Sean Stone is a beautiful individual, man.
It's not about you, sir. It's not about you. This is about the mother of your child, your ex-wife. Yeah. I think what you just said to her is beautiful, and I love that you're taking accountability, but I will not let that distract me from the fact that Trav busted your ass in a rap battle last year. Okay? And that's probably why your wife was fed up and had enough and left you.
Oh, my goodness.
All right?
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Yibi, got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about the breakfast battle between Dr. Oz and Mark Wahlberg. And we'll tell you what both sides are saying. They're really in this heated debate.
The breakfast battle.
Right.
Yes.
We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine,
we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Lena Waithe.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, yesterday, Lena Waithe and her wife announced that they are getting a divorce. They put out a joint statement together.
Oh,
damn.
Yes, it's only been 2 months since they got married, Alana Mayo. And according to Love Thee Scott, they did an exclusive, and they're saying that their relationship was on the rocks before they even got married. According to sources on Love Thee Scott, they said even after they married, Lena Waithe was still buying designer gifts, Chanel, Gucci for other women. And according to these sources, Lena Waithe ended up getting married because it was a way to placate Alana and salvage their relationship for some of the things that were going on.
How do you know that?
I don't know how they know that
all that type of intimate details and information of the situation.
Maybe they know somebody close to the couple. I'm just telling you, that's from Love Thee Scott.
Yeah.
Damn, so I hope not. I hope that's just a rumor. I hope they're working it out. I hope.
Well, no, they definitely are. They put out a joint statement saying that they are getting divorced. So that's not a rumor.
Yeah.
That came directly from Lena Waithe and Alana. All right, now another divorce. Wendy Williams and Kevin Hunter. Their
drop
divorce
on the clues bombs.
Is-
Yay! Yeah, I got different reactions for different things.
This guy, yeah, man.
So you're sad about one divorce.
Happy about this one. Yes, let's go.
All right, so they both have agreed.
Let's
to,
go. You a jerk.
They both have agreed to forego alimony, and Wendy Williams did agree to keep a $1 million life insurance policy on herself that will go to him if she dies. But she can reduce that amount.
I wonder why she would keep that.
She also has to cover his health insurance under her current policy.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
And they are going to split the proceeds from their house in Livingston, New Jersey when it eventually sells. Right now it's on the market for $1.7
million. Man, she's got a life insurance policy from that when she dies, the money goes...
That's weird.
...to Kev.
Because it could go to her son now. He's of age. That's weird.
I mean, I guess Wendy's still...
Well, she probably has some of it going to her son. I'm sure she has a life insurance policy because you can have multiple, right?
Yeah. And Wendy's, you know, still wants to take care of him in death. You know what I mean? Mm-mm-mm. That's all.
All right.
been living her off her all these years. Might as well live off her when she dies, too. Right, Kev? Jesus
And
Christ.
In more Wendy Williams news,
oh, real
people
quick,
were upset.
They said the mm-hmm. final straw was when Kevin heard Wendy fought on TV the other day. He was like, that's when he decided to finalize the divorce. That's what I heard.
That's not true. This divorce got finalized on Tuesday.
That's what sources said.
Name your sources, man. This guy's crazy, man. I hate you, man.
All right, people
you.
Were upset saying that Wendy Williams violated girl code because she shared NeNe Leakes' plans to leave Real Housewives of Atlanta on her show. Listen to this.
NeNe texts, I'm quitting. I know something about NeNe that you all will cry, be sad, feel bad for her. She's carrying the weight of a huge... thing. But she need, in my opinion, NeNe, I didn't even call you back. You need this platform to explain the other part of your life.
Wow. So imagine you send somebody a text, and NeNe commented on this on Twitter. Private conversations should be left in private. what a girlfriend's for if you can't vent to them on those type of days.
That's the truth.
Nina, you just realizing who Wendy Williams is?
I mean, she probably thought that was her friend. Like, they were hanging out. Probably thought they were cool and they were bouncing ideas off each other. I'm sure Wendy told her some private stuff, so she just...
It's Wendy Williams.
But still, she and that's the best person.
To do.
She's in TV, so she can feel like I can talk to you. She's in media.
Her life is content. If you're her friend, if you're her family, it's all content.
If I told you
well,
something,
would
you
go
in? Yes. Depends what it is.
See, how
it is? You know me.
You're right.
Same
you're
thing.
Right.
You've been working with me 9 years.
You're right.
By the way, when you tell me stuff, don't you have to say, don't say this on the air?
You're right.
And it still doesn't matter?
You're it right. depends what
you're
it
right.
is.
You're right. You're
sometimes
right.
Sometimes some of this stuff is just too good to keep to myself.
Yep, Nene.
Well, the two of them are still friends because apparently there's an even bigger secret, and she did not mention that part of it on the air.
Well,
so.
Wait till sweeps week, goddammit.
All right, Mark Wahlberg and Dr. Oz, the two of them have been going back and forth about breakfast, whether or not it's good to skip breakfast or eat breakfast. The two of them have different ideas on what this is all about. Now, Dr. Oz does intermittent fasting, and here's his view.
Mark, I heard you said that I was dead wrong when it comes to canceling breakfast. Well, powerful medical literature and lots of athletes support me and show that intermittent fasting flips the metabolic switch, so it bolsters your physical and your mental performance. I last ate 12 hours ago, but thankfully my liver, it stored lots of energy, plenty of energy for the intensity workout that mere mortals like me do, but maybe for you too. So swing by. We'll test if breakfast matters.
Well, Mark Wahlberg eats steak for breakfast, and he doesn't think you should skip breakfast at all.
Dr. Oz, listen, we got beef now, all right?
Beef.
You don't want this smoke, trust me. This guy's been telling me about the ketone diet forever. If you want to challenge me, I'll come hungover, eat a big steak, and you can do your little 20 push-ups with one leg and your assisted pull-up. I'm telling you, you'll need a defibrillator when I'm done with you. How can I even take my vitamins and digest it without any food, okay? You gotta have food. Food is your friend.
Okay. I don't know. With this debate, who do you guys side with?
You know what? I used to eat breakfast every morning, but I stopped eating breakfast. I don't desire for it. I still have the energy. I usually don't eat a meal. I have a shake in the morning, but I don't have a meal until about 12 o'clock, 11, 12.
How do you even prove that your theory works over the other person? Like, how does Dr. Oz prove that his theory works over Mark Wahlberg?
I don't know, but a couple of doctors told me.
I guess he uses medical research.
A couple of doctors told me that I shouldn't eat until about 11, 12 o'clock. So a couple of people told me that. But I don't know.
Right. I think it also depends on what your schedule is like. We get up earlier than most people. So for some people, 11, 12 o'clock is like 3 o'clock, depending on your body and how it's set up.
Correct.
And then it also depends on what you do for a living, I would assume, too. If you're an athlete, you know, sometimes you might need to have those calories. I'm sure.
That's true, too.
There's no one rule, one size fits all with this.
I ain't gonna lie.
I'm Angela Yee, that's your rumor report.
I'm just sitting there thinking how white beef between celebrities looks so much different than black beef between celebrities.
It didn't seem real. Like, we got beef.
Beefing over breakfast.
You don't want this
beef.
Smoke.
You don't want this smoke. I eat a steak for breakfast. I don't eat a steak for breakfast. Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, they posted videos back and forth doing push-ups and everything, so.
See, that's the way we should start beefing.
I'm a talk.
You'll definitely lose.
Yeah, I can only talk about this situation the way I know how. Mark Wahlberg will beat Dr. Oz's ass.
If they fight,
and I love
yes.
Dr. Oz.
If
okay?
they fight, they're not going to fight. Could you see them two fighting?
I don't know, but I'm instigating that. I just feel like I have to do that for years, instigating beef between black people.
All right, yeah, do some more.
Not the thing, Mark Wahlberg will beat Dr. Oz's ass.
That's a fact.
But I don't know, though. Dr. Oz probably knows some little tricks. You know what I'm saying? Hit Mark Wahlberg in an area that he don't know even exists.
That's true, too.
You know what I mean? Make him throw up on himself.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, the Grammys are happening this weekend. I'm out here in L.A. as everybody's getting ready for that. But there's a lot of drama behind the scenes with the suspended Grammy CEO who is saying there is corruption.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, congratulations to Eli Manning. He is retiring after 16 NFL seasons, 2 Super Bowl wins. Congratulations to Eli Manning. And I hope he just chills and relaxes, man. He's done the work. He's got my team a couple of chips, and just chill out.
I think I saw last night that he's one of 12 starting quarterbacks who's won multiple Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So Eli Manning definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
had a great career.
Now, what else are we talking about, Yeezy?
All right. Well, the CEO of the Grammys, Deborah Dugan, has been suspended, and she also has filed a discrimination charge against the Recording Academy. just days before we're getting ready for the Grammys, by the way. That's going to be happening on Sunday. Now, she just got this position 6 months ago, and now she said she wants to expose the Academy as a boys' club that puts their financial interests above the Academy's mission. She also accused them of corrupt voting practices, amongst other issues. According to Deborah Dugan, she also said their former CEO, Neil Portnow, who was criticized for those comments, remember back in 2018 when he said if women want a bigger role in the music industry, then they need to step up, over the critique that there was a lack of female Grammy winners, if you guys remember those comments a couple of years ago. Well, she said there was a rape allegation against him, and she just found that out last year. And according to Deborah Dugan, she allegedly said that that allegation was from a woman who was a performing artist, recording artist that's foreign. So they did not identify who that woman was. But she said after he had to step down, she was told to give him a job as a consultant paying $750,000 a year, which she refused to do. Now, she will be on Good Morning America today, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot more things that are happening, and we'll keep you updated with that as it happens.
You know what, though? Any system, or institution, or industry that is controlled by old white men is probably toxic. And that's a fact. I guarantee if you look at the one common denominator in most of these situations, it's controlled by old white men.
All right, well, Deborah Dugan is the first ever female CEO of the Grammys, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Neil Portnow, who stepped down before her, had led the Grammys since 2002. Just to give you guys some background. But we'll keep you updated on what she has to say when she does Good Morning America this morning. All right, Tulsi Gabbard says that she is holding Hillary Clinton accountable, and she's suing her for defamation. That's all because in a podcast, Hillary Clinton said that she is an ally for the Russians. And, of course, that would hurt her political and personal reputation. So, according to Tulsi Gabbard, her lawyer said she is a loyal American civil servant who has also dedicated her life to protecting the safety of all Americans. She said her presidential campaign had continued to gain momentum, but her political and personal reputation has been smeared and her candidacy intentionally damaged by Clinton's malicious and false remarks. So I could see that, though. That is harmful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your front page news.
Thank you, Missy. Now, when we come back, Fabulous will be joining us. We'll kick it with F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S when we come back.
He doesn't really do that anymore.
I did for him.
Okay.
All right. It's Fab when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes.
Fabulous.
So what's up, y'all?
And we need to continue this conversation that he just started about having the knees out, right?
I on the jeans. It's cold. It's like 20 degrees.
Exactly. Because I like that. I like that look, but it's freezing.
Yeah. It is freezing. It is freezing.
I thought about it this morning. I did think about it, but I like, you know what I mean, for the sacrifice of the look.
You can put thermals underneath. I think that looks good when guys put thermals and you can see the thermal.
Yeah, I like the thermal vibe too.
Do your sons try to dress like you ever? Like they see what you have on and they're like, Dad, that's fresh. Or you see like you can you see them trying to emulate you?
A little bit. Sometimes he take little vibes, but like some things you'd be disappointed, you know what I mean? You'd be like, yo, man, that ain't cool, but you gotta let them.
Like what's
like
not
what?
Cool?
Like what? Give
him some. I don't know. Just like sometimes your hair purple and all that. Like, that would be really cool.
The kids me. Like that stuff,
but
man.
They do. Envy, your son dyed his hair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he dyed the tips of his hair like what Odell did back in the day.
You can't stop him from being free. Nobody stopped us when we wanted to do wild. Like have gold
mom,
fangs.
Stop me if I try to go purple.
But they didn't mind the 3X t-shirts and the.
Yeah.
You have to pay a lot of money in clothes. So what do you do with all the clothes that you own and all them old triple X tees and jerseys and big ass hats and all that?
Some is like I kept. Some I give away. Some like you hold it for like. It might even come back around, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
them 5XTs
he
got a lot of expensive designer things that I'm sure you don't want to just get rid of.
You don't got no fat friends?
Yeah.
You get that stuff?
Some of the jerseys, it was mad big. Some of, like, when the time came, I passed them off to some big guys. But now, like, they don't even wear.
Fendi got all your jerseys.
Yeah, Fendi could wear some of them, like, you know, 4Xs.
Fendi
going like
to hit your ass up on the gram, all
right?
Yeah.
He's right.
Shout to Fendi.
Fendi like, oh, yeah, he might pop up right now. with his name. Is
That's why Envy get left on the ground when you guys, when a fight breaks out in the club. Nobody wants to help him.
Yo, I do not remember leaving Envy on the
ground, man.
Definitely left me. Now you gotta tell the story. I used to DJ for Fab, right, on tour. This is when we were all struggling. We weren't making that much money. We all used to go to the after party. I went to the club, and the shooting happened. And everybody ran, and I fell.
Now, wait, stop right there. So when a shooting happened and everybody runs,
summertime shootout
what
three.
Happens right there?
Everybody runs.
There's memes going around when you just see people running and you Absolutely. Don't even know what's going on and you run. So right. if somebody's shooting, that's the cue for everybody to
and
run.
And he's not from Brooklyn. You got a part of him.
No, that's
from
a
Queens.
Hood rule.
They don't understand the rules.
They ain't catch the. But yeah, that's like a hood rule. It's not right. shooting. It's everybody getting out. You know what I mean? You don't want to be, like, when you
I'm
get shot,
help
everybody
MD.
Like, damn, yep. I should have ran,
I tripped
bro.
And fell, and I was on the floor, and I just remember looking in the back at everybody just running away from
That's
me.
That's your dumb ass.
I fell.
Hey, okay.
You don't even look back when you're running from me. You don't even look back. Like, somebody fell. He's like, yo, where
no, but where's the DJ?
Start
exactly.
Where
exactly.
You know
exactly.
The mix of the run, though, you got to get out of
But
hood.
Somebody did lift you up, right?
Yeah, it was Nelly and the security guard. The security guard actually passed away a couple months ago, somebody told me. But yeah, Nelly and the security guard scooped me up and brought me to safety.
Yeah. My funniest thing of somebody shooting was somebody, like, dove on me before. Like, I was standing there and they started shooting in the party. And somebody was like, yo, fam, get out.
They
like,
saved your life.
You yo, have to be his favorite rapper.
That scared me more. I want to run.
But this is perfect for summertime shootout three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that come from a place where if you grew up in a hood in the summertime, because the summertime be a festive time. You be out, there's mm-hmm. block parties, there's barbecues, whatever. And you know, that was kind of like a risk of the thing happening, but it still didn't stop you from, like, enjoying the time. So it was, like, good and bad in right. that moment.
What was your best summertime moment?
I think, like, when I was first getting on and, like, I was starting to be heard on, like, on Clue tapes and stuff. It was a time, too, where people were, like, happy for you because it's, like, that part where you blowing up, but you're not rich, you're not, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So people still have, like, a level of happiness for you. So it's not, like...
The hate ain't really set
yeah,
in yet.
Ain't no hate right. yet. Yeah. Like, it's really, you know what I mean? It's really that little small moment right before hate can start even setting in. So
and
that
that's
was,
why like, you start the album talking about, like I said, being the top dog and then the underdog.
Yeah. I mean, that come from just life in general. I think based on the kind of year I was having, based on what you go through, like you could be the top dog and you could be, it could turn around for you and be the underdog.
Is that something that happens because of circumstances or just because you, like, you know, you're a veteran now in the game. So you really don't have anything to prove, but sometimes you feel like, let me go spank these dudes just because they might have forgot.
I just don't really get into the, like, proving myself thing. I don't really need anybody's validation to me at this point, you know what I mean? Besides, like, my family and my kids, really, like, you know what I mean?
Never, ever, even as an MC, even coming up when you was...
Nah, coming up,
okay.
You was trying to prove yourself for sure. I remember coming in a time where you was a New York artist, but you didn't really speak to nobody. You was kind of about you and your crew only, and, you know, I remember being in elevators with Jay-Z, and we didn't even speak because it was kind of like... It wasn't like we was on each other's competition level or anything, but it was just kind of like, you know, you got to do your thing until people recognize you mm-hmm. more than you, like, you know, you looking for people to recognize you. You know what I'm saying? And it was mm-hmm. like...
Not even a what's up, though? Especially the whole Brooklyn
know.
Connection?
We didn't really have that connection at first. I think we built a relationship, but I think that also, like I said, between artists and even just being from New York, New York was... Especially at that time, a little standoffish.
My mom thought you was halfway mute because you never spoke.
Yeah,
like you was quiet. Like
that was my personality.
Yeah,
too.
You never.
So that might have been a little.
And you never seem approachable. Like yeah. people
at one point, I wasn't very approachable either. Like it's different. I do think it was. You know,
when did that change though? When did you start opening up and be like, I can talk now?
Twitter.
I can do interviews. Yep.
Twitter definitely yeah. opened up my personality to people because I think people who know me, like how you would know me. Y'all would know my personality, even playing around from us being on tour mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But, right. like, I never was that open with people who weren't, you know, around me a lot. Like, you know, I want to be as cool as you can, but I feel like sometimes people take advantage of it, too.
So. And also joking around too much, because sometimes, and you know that's gotten you into it
yeah,
on social
Twitter,
media, making
from
jokes.
From that Twitter era, too. Like, I used to joke around with people. Some people used to joke with me, and it would be fun, but some people really used to,
Ray J
like,
was
take
not
offense.
Happy at that time.
Yeah, yeah. The Ray J up, man. That I seen that was like one of the things of the decade or something like
easily.
Like,
that might have halfway saved that job a little bit.
Yeah, that was a big moment, man. Like it was just so funny to me at the time. Like I was like, yo, this is the funniest. And I was like, people thought like I might have been like mad, but I was you were dying. Laughing. Like
I heard you still dying. Don't talk to Ray J. Ray J was on Drink Champs. He said he saw you somewhere.
And you was not Ray J be kind of like unsure if he should speak to me. Yeah, and I don't really got no problem with him.
He
but
said
like
he
I feel like
you, man. Huh? He said he socked you.
Never
socked
me, let's be clear.
He said he was outside.
What if Ray J just walked up and smacked you? And put it on World Star.
That would actually be funny. Like I might start laughing at first, but then you know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't have no problem with Ray J. Okay. I never really had.
So why
no...
you don't speak to him when you see him, Fab?
I do speak to him.
He was on Drink Champs.
I think he'd be uneasy, like if he should speak to me or not.
He just told
like
you he didn't talk to Jay Z in the elevator. You think he's
no?
Talking
Jay didn't
to
talk to him.
Jay speak to me.
Yo, that's
so,
why.
So if I was like, who's supposed to speak first when you get in the elevator? Is it the person that gets on or the person that's already in? Maybe I ain't want to look like a fan though.
That's the thing too.
What's wrong with being a fan?
I'm Fab. That's what's wrong with me.
But you're still a fan of home. We all are.
I was a fan and then I became Fab.
Yo, that's wild though, because it seemed to me like you would have the cheat code, because Clue was your guy. And I feel like Clue would have introduced you to all of them, because that Clue was Rockefeller.
Be clear, when y'all ever have Clue, Clue has a weird Rockefeller relationship.
He does.
Yeah.
Him, Dame, Jay.
Right.
That whole, it was all, like, they look like cool, but it was still weird.
A lot of jokes.
Hey, man, I saw it backstage.
Yeah, we all saw it backstage.
It was more business with them.
Yeah.
Clue wasn't riding. When the beef happened, he was still playing the locks and DMX. Like, Clue's
in certain things, you might come to Clue and be like, Clue, get this whole feature. Crickets.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with Fabulous when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Fabulous in the building. Now, Summertime Shootout 3 is out right now, and I know this is geared more towards women.
It's catered there because I think the it was built from a place from where I was, what I was going through, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, me... nurturing my relationship and finding balance in my relationship and my career, you know, kind of that was, you know, infused in this project.
I was listening like Fab is in love, love, love.
Yeah, I'm in love, love.
You've been in love, though.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like even just being so open about it, too, sometimes it's not the easiest thing.
Yeah, that's another thing that was growth with me, too. I think when I first came into relationships and love, that wasn't really on the front of, you know, hip-hop. And I think now we in a more social era, so people see people relationships, people are more vocal or more showing of it. But I think in that time, I ain't know DMX was married. I ain't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, they would tell you to hide that stuff.
Huh? They would tell you to hide that. I explained that to my lady, too. When you first came in, that was, like, you were supposed to say you were single, mm-hmm. so you were seen
so
more appealing.
Women will want you more.
And, you know what I mean, that became, like, a part of your moniker, too. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? As Fab, you were supposed to look like the young single, the guy that all the girls wanted me, not use that as a blame, you know what I'm saying? But just something like that was part of your story. So, you know, I think times have changed again. And now you see relationships. Even the young guys, the rappers, they're vocal and they're showing, they're on Instagram with that, you know what I'm saying? So it took me time and growth to get to that place as well.
How'd you feel when your daughter started dating a rapper? G Herbo, what was your mindset like?
I didn't try to judge him because I am a rapper, so I know, you know, where that comes into play. But at the same time,
all the reason you should judge him.
Nah, that is on that side. But at the same time, I know the judgment of being a rapper too. Mm-hmm. It's the same as you know what I mean. I know how somebody would judge me if they looking at you know what I'm saying. So I didn't want to judge him from that point. Tyana talked about him and. You know, and when he came around, he represented everything that she talked about. He seemed pretty stand up. He had some good people around him. So all I could do was salute it. And, you know, she's happy. They're happy. I'm happy for him.
How is it being a dad at this day and age where, you know, when my parents and your parents, they didn't necessarily, they weren't in the same thing we were in.
Yeah.
But now you could be at the club and your daughter.
Yeah, this is the girl.
She could post something that might be a little crazy. Be like, come on, baby. You got to take that off or take that picture. Do you ever get to that level?
Not really. Because, one, she's 21 now. So
you can still call her, though. Even if my daughter turned 50, I'm going to call her. Like, hey.
You could.
Be dead.
I ain't gonna be dead.
We're living longer these days.
Yeah, we're living longer these days, sir.
You could, but I think she's tasteful too. She's a good girl. She doesn't ever put herself out in a way that represents herself bad or represents our family bad. So I'm always, you know, supportive of what she do. If she did, then I would say something, you know, probably privately to her. But I haven't seen anything in that nature. And I just, you know, I support them. You know what I mean? I support all the kids to be freely and openly with themselves. Now, nothing crazy. You might not get purple hair right now, but like.
Why is that so crazy?
Why can't
to you?
Your daughter get purple hair?
Why is that crazy?
Who don't
Why
you like purple with purple hair, fam? Purple hair has traumatized.
I'm talking about like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid. Well, you know,
it's just
purple
hair. It's like an accessory.
It's the age, too. You know what I mean? Like, I think certain age levels, you graduate to certain things. It's like when I was growing up, I got a certain age, I could stay up a little later. You know what I mean? Or you could stay outside a little longer. But like, I think at 10 and 11, I don't know if you have age for purple hair yet.
You had a protective household growing up?
Definitely. My mom was, because of one, she was a single mom. So I think she was, in that era too, you didn't want, it was like a fear of your teenage kid getting killed. So like, you know, coming from the neighborhood that I'm from. So you definitely want to protect your kids, you know, against that, against selling drugs. Selling drugs was big when I was a teenager.
Could you have girls over the house and stuff?
Huh?
Could you have girls over?
Sometimes she would flip out. Be like, get that little tramp out of here. No. Like, sometimes she was cool. Sometimes she wasn't. I just had to play it by what kind of mood she was in.
What's going to happen?
Question, when y'all out together, G Herbo and the whole crew, who do you make pay the bill? Because he got money.
In a club, I ain't really never had no bill when Herbert was there. While Herbert was there, we, you know.
Bottles taken care of.
Yeah, things have been taken care of, or I ain't really never had no bill, to be honest. In restaurants, I've taken care of bills, but I'm not saying that he wouldn't in any event. He might have took a care of. I don't even keep track, really.
You guys talk about music, like doing stuff together?
Yeah, he actually, he was talking about work. I was kind of like, at the end of, when we like kind of built our relationship, I kind of was at the end of Summertime Shootout 3. I would have loved to have him a part of it, but it was kind of like I didn't want to force it. So, and then I, you know, it also was a test to see if you were going to be around with Tyena too, because maybe we'll do something later. You know what I mean? But I also, we worked with the Bombs record. We was kicking it about that too, because he's from Chicago. So it was a tie there. So we might have something out.
Do people know enough about Fab? Because that's one of the critiques, is Fab's never been personal in his music. Even when you was talking about your upbringing just now, I'm like, I ain't never heard Fab talk about his upbringing.
Yeah, I never showed like and like pushed out a lot of things out. Like the people who know me personally, or like people who grew up around me, like even like somebody like Casanova, like, you know what I mean? Because we grew up in the same like neighborhood with the same friends and the same, you know what I mean?
So
but that
Cass?
Wasn't, yeah.
Oh,
I knew Cass from like parties in Brooklyn. Like, we, you know, I just never was at the forefront of my music, probably. You know what I'm saying? But Cass, like, you know, his music embodies where he come from. And, like, you know, his projects might be, you know, he just came out of jail. His project might be him in a jail cell. Like, you know, I never.
And he's super social.
Yeah, as he should be. You know what I mean? I think that's part of his personality and part of his artistry. So
what'd you think about him and Pop Smoke going back and forth, being from Brooklyn and knowing him? What'd you think about that?
I didn't know how, like, serious it was. Mm-hmm. So I ain't really, like, chime in on that. I think, you know, they both also know each other, too. So maybe it might have been a disagreement. And I think, you can have a disagreement without it being full-fledged beef. I think that needs to be shown a little bit in hip-hop, too. Because I think nowadays, because there's so much egos, you know, everybody's trying to look like the toughest in the world, that every time somebody would disagree about something, it turned into a full-fledged hip-hop beef. But I think theirs was, you know, just a disagreement, and they, you know, was able to have fun with it and then take it to any drastic measure.
All right, well, don't move. Fabulous is still here. Let's get into a Fabulous mini-mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. That was a Fabulous mini-mix. Yee.
Do you and Emily sit at home and watch reality TV together? Are there certain shows you watch because she watches it?
We watch shows. We watch, like, I like stuff that you could binge watch. I don't really watch reality too hard. I think she was checking out Love & Hip Hop, the new one for New York, because it was like bringing back some of the old people, so she was looking at that.
And they definitely, they definitely asked her to be on it, right, since they were bringing back?
I think so. I'm not sure. I know people offer her things. Emily's kind of like, she don't like the attention as much.
What about Netflix, binge
watch? We do watch Netflix.
What you watch?
We watched Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I seen that with the wife,
thing, too. That was crazy, too. But you know what I mean?
Any punchlines inspired from Aaron?
Oh, I put Aaron in the freestyle way back. You know what I mean? I said, you better come Aaron like Hernandez. I didn't know much as a story. Sometimes, like, when you rap into it, you just know the face of the story. Like, now the documentary, you see a little bit more. You see his... the troubled life that he had. You see the complications from CTE. And, you know, sometimes you say punchlines or say things in music or raps, well, a punchline rapper, and you may not even know any, like, seriousness behind it.
Do you have to watch that now, though? Because, you know, back then, you everybody would just be disrespectful.
I started watching. You know who actually made me? Solange. It was a mixtape, freestyle or song or something. I said, if you could have Beyonce, would you take Solange?
We could be the dream team, baby, Kobe and LeBron. Only if you go, I never do the bronze. Cause if you could have Beyonce, would you take Solange?
Remember that one, yeah.
And
she ran down on you in the elevator.
Luckily, she did run down on me in the elevator. But the first person I saw was B. And Beyonce was like, yo, let me holler at you. And I'm like,
Beyonce said, let me holler at you?
Yeah. So I was like, yo, you know. So I went over there and hollered.
Beyonce,
she was like, yo. Yeah, and she was just telling me, like, they rock with me.
That. Okay.
They rock with me, and they, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't know where that came. And I really didn't even think when I was saying it,
these
like,
are real people that you're talking about.
Yeah, I just
that.
Didn't really connect to it like that, you know what I mean? And you say a lot of things. And punchline-y style is just to say something to be catchy and metaphoric and catch up. But I didn't, you know, see the deeper side of it. And Beyonce, you know, I ain't going to share the exact conversation, but she showed me, you know, told me, like, you know, this is people, like, you know what I mean? Some saying something like that could personally hurt her and
right.
that kind of. And I say, you know what, I get it. And I say, yo, when I see Solange, that I'll apologize to her. So
did you see her?
I did. I ended up seeing her like at Soho House one day. And
how long ago?
It was years ago.
Okay.
This even the song was years ago. But I'm saying this is how I realized
I remember
that,
the song,
you know what I mean? So I seen her, so I was like, let me beeline to Solange and apologize. Solange, she was stiff. I'm like, hey, what's up? She was like, what up?
Why are you talking to me when you could be talking to Beyonce?
And I was like, yo, I just, well, you know, I didn't mean it in any malice, but I do take responsibility for saying that, and I apologize, and blah, blah, blah. And she was like,
all right,
thank
cool.
you.
Yo, I'm gonna be honest with you. When you look fast forward years later and see how she handled herself in the elevator,
you got lucky.
She was ready
she
to
blessed you, son.
You got lucky.
She let you go. She let you live.
Stalled over, yeah.
You got lucky.
You know you what live. Though? I'm not gonna lie. I really like Solange a lot because their personalities are so different. And it does have to suck to always be like in a comparison type
she
of thing.
She did say one thing. She said you do have to be. She said the tongue is mighty and you gotta make sure that this is what you want to say because you could be hurting somebody that you don't even know. And so it really woke me up in that. And up until that point, I would say anything in a rap that was catchy or right. a little line. You know what I mean?
Because
so
you could create a narrative that exists for that person forever. Right. You know what I'm saying?
That happened to Melissa Ford.
Think of Melissa Ford. Right.
Yeah.
Or when you heard it, they told me that they heard it in a club. So like it was Whoa. Like they was just bopping to the music. And then that line came on and they was like, oh, what? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was just like, you know what I mean? And that's another thing you're not thinking too. I'm thinking I'm doing it on a little mixtape level that is never even going to reach Beyonce and Solange's ears. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even thinking that far ahead. So,
but you know what the caption going to be? Beyonce threw Fab in the corner, hemmed him up, mushed him, and said, "Don't talk about my sister." That's the caption.
Nah, Beyonce is graceful, man. She even her way of checking you is graceful. You know what I'm saying? So. But sometimes you need to be checked.
And because on your album, you do reference the blogs a lot and people blowing you up and stories coming out. And I'm sure if you're not on that side of things, you never think about how people react to stories about yourself coming out. Like when you see a story about yourself in a blog and you want to respond so badly and you know that's not how things really went down. And you just feel like, am I going to make it bigger if I say something?
It's hard to defend yourself but still not add fuel to the fire. It's a tricky game even with media and blogs and even holding it in sometimes right. could be wrong for you and your mental health or mm-hmm. your mood or, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you upset because it's something that you're not letting out.
Yeah. So what's your mental self-care yeah. routine, Fab? Like, what do you do to make sure you don't go crazy out here? You been to therapy? Like, what do you do?
I've been to therapy before, but I've never been, like, on a continuous basis. I've been to just, I think communication is a key thing in relationships as well.
Why'd you stop going to therapy? Why didn't you didn't like it? Or?
No, I just felt like it was something that I needed at the time. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't go again.
Yeah, yeah.
I just said like it was kind of something that we needed at the time. Like I said, it might have been something I needed to get out. Even I wanted to, do it with my kids because, sometimes your kids are affected mm-hmm. by things that they not
absolutely.
They're not venting. They may not even know how to communicate it or say it or, you know what I mean? I went through a big public thing, so it wasn't just me and my lady, but it was your kids, it's your family, like, everybody doesn't know how to communicate those things. So, like, I think therapy is good. I believe in communication, so I think therapy is a way of communication that's good for people.
I need the story behind the Roc Nation chain. Is that an OG one, or that's a replica? What is that?
It's an OG.
Rockefeller, not Roc Nation.
I mean, I don't know. They gave it to me for my birthday, so.
A word? How they give it to you? Like, it was a big presentation?
It was at my party, Lenny S is Rockefeller affiliated, and he came and presented it in like this little case, and I put it on.
Mm-hmm. That was it. I mean,
the rest was history.
Are you getting ready for the Roc Nation brunch? Are you going out for that?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to LA for the Grammy, so I'm probably most likely.
How many people hit you up?
Have you gotten an invite already?
I did get a invite or something.
Or
I
something.
Didn't get no watch or nothing like that. I heard
you did get a watch for something,
right? You did get a watch,
though, right?
Yes, you did.
For the gala thing.
The Sean Carter Foundation.
But y'all paid for those, though.
Kind of, sort of, I guess, because you had to pay to go to the gala.
Yeah. How much was the gala?
Like 50 grand.
It depended what you wanted to donate. It was different. It was level.
What was the lowest level?
What package did you get?
the lowest level was... Just want to count my pockets, right?
You need those, right?
All the questions led up to what package did you get? I think it was the lowest. I don't even want to put the lowest. They're going to look back at the gala. Yeah, he definitely got the lowest package. Right?
You got a watch, though?
Nah, I ain't get a watch.
Why you say that man got a watch and he ain't get no watch?
I ain't get a watch.
Oh.
No. I seen some people get a watch.
that was the platinum package. The watch came out.
Maybe I ain't pay for the watch. I can buy my own watch though, so it's cool. I went though; it was a great dinner and a great night.
Did you lose any money? I seen Gotti lost $500,000.
Nah, I think it was like a tournament. Gotti took a hit on something that he wasn't supposed to take a hit on.
But he take a hit on. He said it, but what was it?
It was like something that you just wasn't supposed to take a hit. If you play blackjack,
he
it was like
and
yeah,
20.
It was something like he had seven, and the dealer's hand was busted, and he just took a hit, and everybody in the whole building was like,
why would you?
I think he just got caught up in the, you know what I'm saying, and just say, yo, hit me. No, Gotti don't hit, and he already took the hit, and I think he busted. But he still played good. He still had a, you know what I mean. I think he didn't win the tournament behind that, but mm-hmm. he's still good. It was a good night though, man. Roc Nation is family.
Well, thank you for joining us, Fab.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Summertime Shootout 3 is out right now, and thank you for joining us, brother.
Thank y'all.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's fabulous. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God, we are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kanye.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip.
The rumor report.
Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
So if you had to imagine who would play Kanye in a movie, who would you think?
I have no idea. Kanye in a movie.
Because apparently Kanye's been talking about doing a movie about his life, and he actually called this actor up and asked him to play him in a movie. And he even went down to go fly him, visit. He flew down to go see him, visit his family.
The person better be black.
Watch his son play Fortnite.
I got a feeling. I'm serious. No, I got a feeling Kanye would get somebody that's not black to play him in a movie.
No, no.
Who is the person, Yee?
Danny McBride.
See what I'm saying? That's why that's the dumb stuff Kanye do. And then he wonder why he'll get Donkey of the Day.
You know him from Eastbound and Down as Kenny Powers.
I love
Danny
McBride.
Which I used to love that series.
No, hell no. He can't
play
Kanye.
Pineapple Express.
Duh. And by the way, why would
he's
you do that?
He's white.
Yes, you never see Eastbound and Down. It's one of my favorite shows, by the way.
Now, according to Danny McBride, okay, he said, Kanye asked me to play him in a movie of his life. That was a pretty stunning phone call to get. I don't know why he wanted me to do it.
What?
Maybe that was that sense of ego I'm able to portray. Well, I have no clue.
Wait.
Hold on. Yeah, we got to ask somebody about that. We got somebody in the building that we need to ask about that real quick, if you don't mind. Please. Dame, 1 second. Dame and Dash is here.
Dash, just kidding. Dame.
We got a full interview with Dame tomorrow, but we got to ask you one question.
One question,
Angela Yee's on the line.
What's up, Dame?
Come to this mic.
Right here.
Angela Yee just reported that
Kanye West
wants Danny McBride to play him in a movie.
Yeah.
Danny McBride is white.
You're just saying that so y'all can say that. You know he's playing.
Oh, he's playing?
He's playing?
Yeah, he's playing. Everything
I mean, he really flew down to go see him.
Is there anything he says that doesn't make people go, what?
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right.
That's not by accident. Bro.
Okay.
You know
okay.
Gotcha. Don't be elevator and let him push your buttons.
Gotcha.
Okay, all right.
All right. Full interview with Dame tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Now, what else you got, Yee?
I don't think we have time right now, but I have so much, because we are going to talk about, since we just talked about that, Robert Downey Jr., and he said he does not regret wearing blackface in Tropic Thunder, but we'll get to that in the next hour.
All right, we'll get on to that. But now, next, Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who you throwing that donkey to?
I'm going to be honest with you. I can't pronounce this man's name. But I hate people that steal. Mm-hmm. But I also really hate people that steal with no purpose behind it.
Say the person's name. Let me hear you try to say it.
No, I'm not
even
going to.
I'm going to try to say it one good time.
Chico de Naka Nwankpa. Hold on. Chico de Naka Nwankpa.
I guarantee that's not it.
I know that's wrong. All right. We'll talk about it for after that.
Donkey of the Day is next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed race.
So like a donkey.
Yee-haw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, January 23rd, goes to a professor in Philly named Chibaka Nadwar. How you pronounce this man's name? Play it for me, man.
Chika Nwankpa.
Say it again.
Chika Nwankpa.
All right, I'm going to point at you.
Chika Nwankpa.
Every time I need to say his name, I'm going to point at you, drum. Okay, I did not know how to pronounce this man's name. I just know he was a professor at Drexel University. He was arrested on Monday. Now, let me tell you something. When I hear stories of people stealing, especially stealing money, depending on the context, I understand why they stole the money. Now, I don't agree with it because I don't respect thieves, all right? Stealing someone's hard-earned money is beyond cowardly to me. I didn't work for this, so you can just take it. But oftentimes, we hear stories about people stealing for good reasons, or reasons that we can understand. Like just last week, we reported on this guy, I think that was in Philly too, who robbed a pharmacy because he had a sick child. You know, I get it. You know, I understand that. That makes sense to me. But when people take penitentiary chances just because they want to have a little fun, I don't get it. All right? Professor...
Chika Nwankpaa.
Yes. He's a professor at Drexel, so he has a job. I mean, he's not balling by any means, but he's making a decent, honest living. But apparently, that wasn't enough for Professor...
Chika Nwankpaa.
Yeah. Let's go to... What news thing? I forgot what news station it is. ABC? Yes. Let's go to ABC for the report.
A Drexel University professor is facing charges tonight of allegedly stealing $185,000 in research grant money. This is 57-year-old Chika Nwankpaa. Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner's office says the former chair of the engineering department used the money on adult entertainment and sports bars, meals, and iTunes purchases. An audit by Drexel University found that the professor made a number of the unauthorized purchases during a seven-year period.
Professor knew alkaline water from 2010 to 2017. He spent $96,000 at adult entertainment venues and sports bars and $89,000 spent on iTunes purchases. The money that was allocated for research purposes instead went to Onyx and Chicken Pete's and Meek Mill music. All right? Now, when he was submitting the reports for the adult entertainment expenses, let's just say scripting. He said he was using it for catering and food, but 48% of the 114 charges he made were incurred on weekends, and 63% were incurred from midnight to 2 a.m. If Professor Iaconelli says he's working on the weekend as usual, he's lying. Now, what I don't understand is why a 57-year-old man isn't making better decisions. Now, I haven't been to the strip club in a long time, all right? But I do know that when I was younger and far from having any money, I didn't need that kind of money to have a good time. In the script club, $100. You know what I'm saying? Tip a low. $40 in ones goes a long way. You know, you get you some chicken wings, a couple drinks, and you have a ball. Same thing at a sports club. Who spends tens of thousands of dollars in a sports club? Why are you looking at me like that?
When did you go to the strip club when you could go with $40, get wings, drinks, and tip?
I said $100.
Oh, okay.
I said $40 in ones for the tip.
I got you.
Okay.
All right.
Then I got $60 for drinks and do whatever.
All right, you're right. My bad. Sorry.
I just want to ask, what's this man's name?
Chika Nwankpaa.
One question. Was it worth it? Okay. I'm sure you're losing your job. You had to surrender your passport. You went to jail and got released on a $25,000 bond. And you'll probably never get a job at another school because you betrayed Drexel University and tuition-paying students, okay, that you were paid to educate. Think about all the kids that probably saw...
Chika Nwankpaa.
Yeah, saw him in Vanity Grand back in the day and thought he was a cool-ass professor who was tipping heavy. He might even have been passing stacks of cash to the students. But guess what, kids? It was your money. All right. Please give Chicken Pete's new whack bars. What's his name?
Chika Nwankpaa.
Yeah, please give him the biggest hee-haw.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes, indeed.
And yes, Dame Dash will be joining us tomorrow morning. So we'll kick it with Dame Dash. He hasn't been here in how long? 3, 4 years? 5 years? It's been... 2015, you said?
5 years.
All right, so we're going to kick it with Dame tomorrow. It'll be very interesting. Let's just say that. But up next, Ask Ye. 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Ye right now. She'll help you out. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Come on. Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hello. Hey, this is Sherelle.
Hey, Sherelle. What's your question for Yee?
Hey, Charlamagne.
Well, that was Envy, but hey, Sherelle, how are you? This is Charlamagne. What's happening?
I thought that was Envy. Ooh,
oh, look, okay. I'm sorry.
Ooh, you being shady this morning? Ooh.
Girl, let me tell you, Charlamagne sucks up, but I like him. Everything he says, I be wanting to see. So y'all leave Solomon alone. Leave him alone. I got you, Solomon.
Thank you, boo.
Okay.
Well, let's hear your question and let's see how we feel about it.
Okay. So I was dating a married man, right?
You're dating a married man? And
she was.
I was dating a married man, and he just hit the field on me. So then when he came out of the room, like I'm saying a year later, and he said, "I'm not." That I wasn't prepared for what you were prepared for.
Yeah, he's married.
Now, Yeah, he was gay married. Yeah, because he's married, but I'm just saying, if you're not prepared for that, then don't even entertain me.
Okay, so what's your question?
That's my question. So what does that mean?
First of all,
what does that mean?
Sherelle, he's married, so right. He's got a wife, which means he has other obligations. He disappeared for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cheating on his wife. Is this somebody you trust?
Yes.
So what's the situation with his wife?
I don't know. Like, I really don't get into that.
So you don't know what the situation is with his wife. He can leave you for a year and come back when he feels like it, but you trust him.
That sounds stupid. The way you're saying it does sound stupid. Now, please.
Why don't you want your own man? Why do you want somebody else's?
That's not how that happened. That is not how that happened. This is all just a tour.
So
we did a long time ago, way back when, before that situation even occurred. So don't forget all this.
How come you don't ask him questions about his wife and his marriage?
Because I know something, but I really don't feel bad to ask. I really don't know. To be honest.
You don't want to know because then you'll feel like you're doing something wrong.
Exactly. That's right.
Which means you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sherelle, I just want you to do better for yourself.
I know. You're right. I will.
Because that man will leave again and come back in a year. Still be able to hit it. You'll still bring him back in. You're not going to ask no right. questions. You know how he looks at you? You're a person that doesn't ask any questions, that's laying down with a married man, that will take him back anytime he comes, and that has convinced herself that she can trust this man.
That is correct.
How old are you?
Okay. 43. You don't have to know how old she is anyway.
Old enough to know better.
Okay. Huh? Of course.
Oh, there's a lady?
What?
You're from New Orleans, right? You're from New Orleans?
Yeah, I'm from New Orleans. Why?
I'm sorry. I'm my bad. All of y'all sound like Big Frida to me. Salute to Big Frida.
Only woman.
Huh?
Be irreplaceable. Well, Instagram. Don't play with me. I'm only woman, baby. Check that out. Hello?
Yeah. All right, thank okay. you. Sherelle, baby. All do right. better, girl.
Hello.
All right, thank you.
Hey.
Yes, ma'am.
You supposed to have my back.
I don't know you.
And this is singing voice.
You want somebody to have your back for you sleeping with a married man?
Hold on, she said she got a singing voice. Let me hear you sing, baby.
I got a rapping voice.
Let me hear you sing something.
No, I don't want to sing. I'm on rap.
Let me hear you rap something.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I already got that on my Facebook. Man, my phone.
Yeah, bye. You ain't no Big Frida.
Bye, you know what I meant to tell you?
What you say, man?
Salute to Big Frida.
All right, ask ye. Sorry.
Why we ain't never had Big Frida on Breakfast Club?
800-585-105.
Big Frida tried to come up here before, but I think we weren't here.
Oh.
If you got a question for ye, call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. What line you want to go to, ye?
Yes, line 4.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Portia calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey,
843.
What's your question for ye?
Okay, so I have a question. Basically, I've been dealing with some sexual harassment at my job with my supervisor. So I took the appropriate steps, went to HR, even talked to a lawyer about the situation, but it seems like they're not trying to let this manager go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's the next step? What should I do from this point on? Should I just find another job? Should I keep pushing the issue? Because I feel like he's retaliating.
You feel like he's retaliating, you said?
Yes.
Like, give me some examples.
Basically, like, he tried to put me on third shift without telling me, which was one thing. Another thing, he nitpicked at little things that he claimed I'm doing wrong, because I'm an industrial technician, so I work through maintenance department,
mm-hmm.
being that I'm one of the girls with a bunch of guys. He just kind of nitpicks at me for little things that I feel like it's, like, not even serious to nitpick over, because he never did before until I went to HR about him.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. First of all, you said that you've complained, right?
Yes, I went to HR twice.
And so their response is what?
We're going to work on it. We're going to work on him. We're going to try to figure out how we're going to make you comfortable while being here, because we know you're not. But that's pretty much it. And they're dragging their feet about letting them go, or, you know, what are they going to do with the supervisor? I had proof that he did that, the
right.
text message and everything.
So you have all of this in writing, and you've emailed them, and they've responded via email. I highly recommend you get yourself a lawyer. That's when they take things seriously.
Okay.
And you should not ever have to work under those circumstances. You should feel safe and protected at work. If you go to HR with a complaint and evidence that somebody is doing this to you and making you feel this way at work, and you're uncomfortable and you're feeling belittled, then you need to make sure that you take those matters into your own hand, because you have the power to do that.
Okay, well, I'll probably just go back to the attorney I was talking to. She told me that the only way she can take my case is if the job was to fire me, or there was no changes moving forward. So because there are no changes, I'm just going to go back to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you have a legitimate case. You have these text messages. Plus, I think you have to keep a record of what's been happening at work since you've been complaining to HR. And all the things that he's been, every detail that you can get, and anything that you can get in writing as evidence, you should try to get.
Okay.
And make sure you send those emails, make sure you show what their responses are, present all of those to a lawyer. You definitely have a case. And I think this is great, because you don't want this to happen to somebody else. So it's great that you spoke up. You've done what you're supposed to do on your part. They haven't done what they're supposed to do on their behalf. So now it's time to move it to the next level.
Hey, look here, you ain't got none of your cousins that can come box him in emote?
I mean, I do got cousins who want to come box them up now, but listen, it's like, this is a white man, so I don't want my people to get locked up for that now.
Man, I ain't care if you're a white man now. That man ain't got no business trying to feel on your boonkie at work now.
Yeah, he be trying to talk, but he want to touch my tattoo and all kind of stuff.
He want to touch the tattoo.
Well, you damn right, you are not getting none of your family's locked up over this.
Well, I need your cousin to come punch our co-worker in the mouth, too.
Hey, relax. Stay out of Geechee Full Conversation now.
Give me an ass.
Stay out of Geechee Full Conversation now. Stay out of Geechee Full Conversation
now. Y'all are not going to make a joke out of her sexual harassment at work.
This ain't no joke. I'm talking to her in our native language.
No,
just Geechee, Charleston, Gullah, 843 all day.
Yeah. Well, 843.
I'm with you, girl. I know it has to be tough for you to go to work every day under those circumstances and not feel like anybody cares.
I'm so uncomfortable every day. And it's like, I left work today just to get away. Took a sick day just to not be there with them.
Yeah, that's a terrible feeling. So you have to nip this in the bud and let them know you ain't going to keep this going. I have the power over you, and I'm going to make y'all look crazy.
Exactly. And thank you, Charlamagne. I love you, though.
I love you more.
Shout out.
I'm serious, though. You got your cousins. I need
that. Man, shut up, boy.
Keep punching them out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Maybe we'll sneak him or something.
Yeah, give him a little sneak him. Give him a little sneak.
Ask Ye, 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice. Ye will help you out. Now keep it locked. We got rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. And again, you know, we have our 76ers gear on. Shout out to Michael Rubin, of course. Michael Rubin donated $100,000 to Change for Change.
That's right. And Drum. Drum has the Sixers gear on as well. Drum, turn around, show the cheeks.
Turn around and show the cheeks, Drum.
Turn around and show the cheeks.
There you go.
They're the cheeks.
They're the cheeks.
You know what I'm saying? You got the Maurice Cheeks Sixers jersey on. You know what I mean? Had to get them spin around and show them cheeks real quick.
That cheeks is nice.
Yeah, I like the cheeks on the back, Drum.
Yep.
Yeah. He said, leave me alone. But shout out to Michael Rubin, though.
Yep. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk blackface.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Now, as you guys know, Robert Downey Jr. did wear blackface in the movie Tropic Thunder. And he recently went on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, and he said that he doesn't regret doing that. Now, here was his initial thinking.
I thought, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll do that after Iron Man. And then I started thinking, this is a terrible idea. Wait a minute. And then I thought, well, hold on, dude. Get real here. Where is your heart? And my heart is, A, I get to be black for a summer in my mind. So there's something in it for me. The other thing is I get to hold up to nature the insane self-involved hypocrisy of artists and what they think they're allowed to do on occasion. Just my opinion.
I listened to that whole interview because I listened to Joe Rogan podcast, and I don't know if he should regret it. You know what I mean? It was a role that he chose to do. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he was doing. He made a choice. You know, I don't know if he should regret it.
Well, he goes on to say this.
90% of my black friends are like, dude, that was great.
What about the other 10%?
I can't disagree with them, but I know where my heart was. There's a morality clause here on this planet, and it's a big price to pay. And I think having a moral psychology is job one. So sometimes you just got to go, yeah, I effed up. Again, not in my defense, but Tropic Thunder was about how wrong that is.
Yes.
So I take exception.
So, yes, he's right. It did spark a conversation at the least, and it was about why it's inappropriate to be wearing blackface. So in order to do that, he had to wear his blackface.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Tropic Thunder back in the day. I didn't even know that he was playing a black person. I just thought he had a bad tan in the whole movie. I had no idea, like, he was supposed to be playing a black person.
Well, Matt, now he could play Kanye West.
He might. Damn, will Danny McBride have to wear blackface to play Kanye West?
Probably. No, yeah. I'm sure he won't. I'm sure he won't. All right, now, April Jones, she recently did an interview with Tiffany Pollard on Brunch with Tiffany, and she talks about a lot of different things, but she talks about some regrets that she has. Now, she's been accused of a lot of things, of people saying, oh, you slept with this person, that person, and she's just tired of it all. Here's what she had to say about the game and ASAP Rocky also.
I'm on my lives like normal, and people are under there, oh, you f***ed the game, or oh, you f***ed, you know, Lil Fizz, or oh, yeah, you're this person, and you know, it's like, okay, at this point, you're right. I f- every single one of them because that's what y'all want to hear.
I love you.
And so that's what they capture with me saying, yes, I f- the game, mm-hmm. And yes, I f- Little Fizz. Not that I have, and I would have no problem saying, f- it. I mean, I should have. Mm-hmm. Well, girl, I should have f- the game when I
definitely
I didn't.
Definitely.
And you know, ASAP, you know, they said ASAP in there, Shaquille O'Neal never have.
Shame on you, girl. Now you're passing up some good.
I pass up a lot of good.
I'm so confused.
Me too.
I guess what she's saying is, well, I might as well have done it since y'all are saying I did it anyway.
Oh.
Well, here was the initial rant that she went on that everybody was talking about and how this all came up in the first place.
You couldn't even get a celebrity the way y'all want to sit here and talk shit. Oh, celebrity. Yeah, I'm a celebrity because I f***ed a celebrity and because I became what y'all thought I wasn't going to become. So let me just say that. Yes, I'm a celebrity because Omarion f***ed this f***y and I had two kids by him. And now Little Fizz wants to f*** this f***y. And because I'm a celebrity. And because the game wants to f*** this f***y. And because ASAP wants to f*** this f***y.
All right. Well, I don't know, April Jones. It seems like sometimes Love and Hip Hop can drive you to just be a little all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a lot of pressure being on that show. Remember Omarion's mom didn't like her at first on there?
I don't remember.
I'm sure she really doesn't like her now.
Oh.
All right, now Diddy posted a message about Kim Porter and losing her. He said, if you got a good woman, please let her know. Tell her as soon as you can. Make sure she knows. Make sure she feels it. Honor her. Cherish her. Because the special ones are rare and few. And everyone doesn't get a second chance. Let the one you love know today, right now. And then he added, Lady KP, I'll honor you forever.
There you go.
That was sweet. I'm sure that made a lot of people be like, let me make sure I let my woman know or my man
every
know.
Day, baby,
I worship
you.
My wife. I worship the ground my wife walks on. Mm-hmm. I love my wife. You know what? I never liked that statement. That's a stupid-ass statement.
What statement?
When people say, I worship the ground my wife walks on. No, nigga, worship your wife. You think about all the stuff that we were taught when we were young, and then you think about when you're older, like, that's actually stupid. Why would I worship the ground?
Well, you can worship some
my wife walks
want.
On
you
instead
worship
of
the rug.
Why I should just worship my wife?
Yes.
I guess that's saying that you worship her so much you even do that.
Like, no.
Above and beyond just her. That's what it's supposed to mean.
I worship her. Her feet, her calf muscles, her knees.
All
thighs,
right, guys.
Stomach.
So Clive Davis is planning to do a Whitney Houston movie. He said a story has not been told yet.
Mm-hmm. What white woman they gonna get to play Whitney?
Let's not forget, Angela Bassett did do that one for Lifetime that she directed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of documentaries, but Clive Davis is saying that he wants to do this story that hasn't been told. So we'll see if this ever really does happen. But, you know, he does have that pre-Grammy party. And just think about it with Clive Davis. Whitney Houston was supposed to be at his party. She was supposed to perform
right
back in 2012 when she passed, and it didn't happen. And that was right out here this weekend, Grammy weekend.
Right. You know how, like, a lot of labels and stuff be having wranglers for people? Like, so they'll have the people that'll go get the coke, go get the weed.
Yep.
I wonder if that day somebody from that label went to go get Whitney the coke. Yeah,
I would hope not.
Because she was performing that night, so I'm sure they was getting whatever she needed. I would hope. I wonder if somebody out there has that on their conscience.
I would hope.
I'm sure that she had her own hookups, though, in L.A.
Probably.
Like, she probably didn't need someone from the label. She had a person, I'm sure.
Probably.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Revolt, we'll see you guys on Monday. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, and we have two special guests in the building, Mr. Roger Ferguson and Stacey Tisdale. Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody. How are you?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored, sir.
You sure are. That makes two of us.
Yep.
So, Roger Ferguson, you have him here with us, and you are the CEO of TIAA.
That's correct.
All right, so explain what that is for people who don't know, and we're going to talk about things that are very interesting and used to be very scary for me.
All right, well, TIAA is a 102-year-old company, and we specialize in financial services, particularly retirement, mm-hmm. where people who are in the not-for-profit sector, so think of your college professor or a teacher maybe in a school or, you know, a doctor at a not-for-profit hospital. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that we do. And we've been doing it for 102 years.
Wow.
Now, Stacey, you always talk about how we are moving into a gig economy.
Absolutely.
Moving forward. And a lot of times, you know, at work, you get this 401k, your company doesn't match for you. But what happens when we're in this gig economy with these baby millennials and they're not getting access to those type of plans? And now you have to actually invest yourself to save for retirement.
Well, we're moving into a gig model because the old model didn't work for so many people. Mm-hmm. People were working hard, but they had student loan debt, so they couldn't save as much as they needed to. So within the next decade, you're going to have the majority of the U.S. workforce working as freelancers, entrepreneurs, as solopreneurs, and that brings about different challenges. You know, it's hard enough for people of color to get a mortgage, to get a loan, but now you're going to have that whole unsteady income thing that comes with, you know, that gig model. But what we're really seeing here, and I think what's really exciting for our community and for everyone, is technology is stepping in where the financial services industry mm-hmm. and the government hasn't kept up. And we're seeing apps that allow you to do things like build credit. We're seeing apps that will help you manage your business. And when you look at the black community, financial online service companies reduce discrimination by 40%. Mm-hmm. So where blacks typically get higher rates for things like mortgages and loans, that whole fintech, you know, it's an equalizer. So I think that's really going to benefit our community.
And I think she put her finger on something really important, which is this is about both what technology can do, but it's also about financial literacy at the individual level, mm-hmm. because technology can be an equalizer, but you got to use it smartly. You got to choose the right tools. And you also have to know what really drives for financial security. And so I think we need to talk about both technology being, you know, part of the answer, but also individual responsibility and some understanding of what it is to take a job if you have one into wealth. And if you don't have a job, how you get one. So I think we need to have that whole discussion.
So what do you think it's going to take to close the wealth gap?
So look, I think there are three things that are going to take to close the wealth gap. One is, and then closing the income gap. The wealth gap is driven by the fact that we don't have the income that we should. Mm-hmm. Second is using that income smartly, which is this around financial literacy, learning how to manage the money you have, be it small or large amounts. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is to know where the assets are that create wealth. Having said that, there are a couple of rules that are really important, and I've heard them on this show a few times.
I'm ready.
Well, first is, you know, all of us have to first start by managing our debt smartly. Right, because one of the great wealth destroyers is misusing debt.
Right,
you know, your credit score really does matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because indeed, employers look at credit score, so it's not just your ability to get credit, but it also may influence your ability to get a job. So all that's in the debt management side of things. But before we go to that place, the other thing I really want to hit on is education. It turns out that, you know, outcomes in terms of income, in terms of wealth, in terms of holding a job, whatever color you are, is heavily dependent on how you've done in school.
Right.
And it turns out now we've reached a stage where, you know, 90% of high school graduates get into college, but for blacks, only about 30% finish. For whites and others, it's more like 60 or more percent.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we have to talk a little bit about, that whole internal thing, what people believe about themselves, because I was just reading a really interesting study by researchers at Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and the Census Bureau, and they followed children for millions, you know, millions of children, and they found that black men, even those from wealthy families, and they were looking at, I think, $700,000 net worth and above, still make less money as adults than white men of the same demographic. So when you look at things like that and when you see what people are seeing is, yeah, but, you know, people who go to college and everything, they still have these disadvantages.
No, look, we should be very honest. I mean, the sad truth is that racial discrimination has been, you know, a cancer on the society from the very, very beginning. And I'm not going to, we shouldn't sit and pretend that we don't still confront discrimination in the workplace. And
that's
it is,
right.
It is absolutely true that at every job level for the same education, blacks tend to have less outcome, lower wages. So let's be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we cannot let, you know, the racism, the bigotry in society undermine our own sense of what we can do.
Right.
The truth of the matter is if we don't do the best we can, then society's just going to get worse.
And we appreciate, the resources that TIAA.org provides for free for people to go and check out. But being here.
What are those resources? I know TIAA is, you manage like $1 trillion worth of assets, right?
Right,
But everybody can do
stuff. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. So what we talk about is a number of things. First is we have a number of millennials who talk about their life journey and the things that they did. Back to your point, you know, if you can see it, maybe you can believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought that having millennials talk about how they made progress through their financial life at a young age and the trade-offs they had to deal with would be an important thing. We've also supported a number of what we call gamifications, which are, you know, tools that use the fact that folks like to play online games, mm-hmm. but to teach financial literacy. So it's those sorts of things that we absolutely are doing.
So I was just going to say, if anybody finds it helpful on my site, mindmoneymedia.com, I have a webinar, You Don't Need to Be Rich to Invest. And if you follow us at Wealth Wednesdays on Instagram, or me on Instagram, which is Stacey Tisdale 1120, we have a lot of information and resources that can help you with.
Well, it's Roger Ferguson, Stacey Tisdale, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Always
a pleasure.
It's the
Breakfast Club.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
Go home, Roger.
All right. Well, shout out to Roger Ferguson for joining us. All right. Now, don't forget.
And shout out to Stacey Tisdale also.
Stacey Tisdale as well. Yep.
Yes.
And don't forget, today I'm heading out to L.A. They're doing, shout out to Amazon Music. They're doing a Bob Marley Legacy Party where they're going to have people come up and perform some of Bob Marley songs. So I'll be there DJing that tonight in L.A. And then this weekend I'm back in Orlando. Shout for the Pro Bowl. So shout to, I'll be at Orlando the Beecham. I wasn't at the Beecham for a while, but we...
I know. That's my spot, too. Shout out to my girl, Koya, man. She's amazing. And D-Strong in Orlando.
There was a misunderstanding that we worked out. So I'll be at the Beecham. I'm excited about that. And I'm doing
a
celebrity basketball game.
I'm so happy to have you back
game.
At the Beecham.
Yeah, and shout out to Boom Cups. I'm doing a celebrity basketball game. I think Floyd Mayweather's playing. A bunch of people are playing. So it should be a lot of fun in Orlando for a Pro Bowl this weekend.
Yes.
Now, Charlamagne.
Hey, I'm going to be in Monk's Corner today just for a few hours. I'm doing a conversation with presidential candidate Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
In my hometown of Monk's Corner. I would tell y'all the location, but it's already
packed.
Yeah. So I'm going to just shut up.
Okay.
But I will be there for a couple hours today.
All right. Well, leave us on a positive note.
And I already got people hitting me saying that they need to talk to me because it's life or death. So I already know what that means. So I'm bringing
$40. You bring $40 all single.
Y'all know right now, you see me home this afternoon, I'm got $40 on me now. That's all I got. I'm letting
all
you know.
Singles.
All singles. You know what I mean? Get all the ones you want.
My goodness. Leave us on a positive note.
Oh, hold on one second. Listen, man, I just want to tell everybody out there, seeking validation will keep you trapped. You don't need anyone or anything to approve of your worth. When you understand this, you'll be free.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done? Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast
is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.